His judgment begins to cover this great land of ours that we're so proud of, and the freedoms we have, the liberty that's ours. You know, we just are a blessed nation. Even in the midst of turmoil, we are a blessed nation. So I want you to see with me tonight. Remember, Ezekiel can only do what? He can only say or tell the people what the Lord tells him to say. The rest of the time, he can't say a thing. And concerning this, it says in chapter 5, verse 1, "Now, son of man, take a sharp sword and use it as a barber's razor to shave your head and your beard." Shaving one's head and beard signified mourning. They were in grief, humiliation, repentance. And as God told Ezekiel here to shave his head and beard, then he tells him to divide it up into three parts. Let's see what he says. He said, "Then take a set of scales and divide up the hair. When the days of your siege comes to an end, burn a third of the hair with fire inside the city. Take a third and strike it with a sword all around the city, and scatter a third to the wind. For I will pursue them with drawn sword. But take a few strands of hair and tuck them away in the folds of your garment. Again, take a few of these and throw them into the fire and burn them up. A fire will spread from there to the whole house of Israel." Take a sword, sharpen it, and shave the head and beard of your face and head. Then Ezekiel, take a set of scales and divide up the hair. When the day of your siege comes to an end, burn a third of the hair with fire inside the city. Take a third and strike it with a sword all around the city, and scatter a third to the wind. For I will tuck them away into the folds of your garment, and take a few of these and throw them into the fire and burn them up." So what he's telling him to do here is things that people can relate to their day of time. Now, I told you that shaving one's head and beard was symbolic of mourning. It was symbolic of humiliation and repentance. And God told Ezekiel to do this. And once he shaved it, take all the hair, divide it into three parts. If he had a little straggles, pick it up, cluck it inside of his coat for a later purpose that God's going to use it for and the days ahead. But he said even some are going to be judged and destroyed because our faith was not genuine. Listen to what he said in verse 5. "This is what the sovereign Lord says. This is Jerusalem, which I have set in the center of the nations, with countries all around her. Yet in her wickedness, she has rebelled against my laws and decrees more than the nations and countries around her. She has rejected my laws and has not followed my decrees." The people disobeyed the Lord and refused to share in what the Lord would have them to do, and their hearts and their lives. He's making it very plain to them that the judgment that is about to fall upon them through the prophet of Ezekiel comes from the Lord. And it comes because of their disobedience and not willing to do what the Lord has told them that he wants them to do in their hearts and their lives. Look at verse 7. It said, therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. You have been more unruly than the nations around you, and have not followed my decrees or kept my laws. You have not even conformed to the standards of the nations around you. They had reached an all-time low of wickedness and sorrow and grief and heartache. All that mountain of Israel there, the high places and stuff, that's where they went up into those high places and placed all those idols that they worshipped and stuff, and left out of the temple of the Lord and the house of God, and went up into these places and made these places up in the mountains and stuff where they would go and sacrifice to the Lord. Excuse me. The things that they were doing there, and God said, this is Jerusalem. I set it right here in the center of the nations with countries all around her. Yet in her wickedness, Israel, he says, has rebelled against my laws and decrees more than the nations and countries around her. She has rejected my laws and has not followed my decrees. Wonder what he'd say about America today. As blessed a nation as we are, and as blessed as a people we are, to be so far from the Lord is just astounding to me. And the hearts and lives of these individuals and stuff. And verse 8, he says, therefore, this is what the Lord, the sovereign Lord, says. I myself am against you, Jerusalem, and I will inflict punishment on you in the sight of the nations. Because of all of your detestable idols, I will do to you what I have never done before and will never do again. He's about to show them something, isn't he? He said, I will do unto you something that I have never done before, and I will never do it again. There's 10. Therefore, in your midst, fathers will eat their children, and children will eat their fathers. Whew, that's punishment enough for me right there to think that we would be reduced as great a nation as we are. And as much, you know, we probably all put out enough scraps to the cat or the dog or whatever day's time to feed a large-sized family, you know. We're a wasteful nation, you know, and have an abundance. And he said, I myself am against you, Jerusalem. I will punish you in the sight of all the nations and their hearts and their lives. I will inflict punishment on you and will scatter all your survivors to the wind. Therefore, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, because you have defiled my sanctuary with all your vile images and detestable practices, I myself will withdraw my favor. I will not look on you with pity or spare you. A third of your people will die of the plague or perish by famine inside you. A third will fall by the sword outside of your walls. And a third will scatter to the winds and pursue with drawn swords. He's divided them into three parts. A third will die from the plagues of the famine. A third by the sword of the heat of battle, and a third scattered to the winds and pursued by these nations with drawn sword. No peace, no place of safety, no hiding place. Verse 14, he said, I will make you a ruin and a reproach among the nations around you. In the sight of all who pass by, you will be a reproach and a taunt, a warning and an object of horror to the nations around you. When I inflict punishment on you in anger and in wrath and with stinging rebuke, I, the Lord, have spoken. Not a very bright future for them, is it? What did he tell them? I'll make you a ruin. I'll make you a reproach among the nations. In sight of all that comes, they're going to look on you with shame and distress. You'll be a reproach, a taunt, a warning, an object of horror to the nations around you. When I shoot at you with my deadly and destructive arrows of famine, I will shoot to destroy you. I will bring more and more famine upon you and cut off your supply of food. I will send famine and wild beasts against you, and they will leave your childless. Plagues and bloodshed will sweep through you, and I will bring the sword against you. I, the Lord, have spoken. What does God intend to do to the children of Israel here? Wipe them out. Teach them a lesson. Show them who's in control in our heart and our lives. The things that are necessary. But a friend of mine this week had to go over to Brookhaven, and I was talking to him. He's a salesman that comes through and stuff, and we purchased a lot of stuff from him. He was telling us about the destruction over in Jeff Davis County from the tornado that passed through there. And luckily it wasn't on the ground long, and it didn't, but it went a long way in the streak that it took, you know. But he is describing the devastation and that narrow path that the tornado took as it ripped through parts of that county up there. And he said, I was just driving along, and he said, I don't even know what I was thinking. And he said, all of a sudden, there was a path that the storm went. And he said, it just devastated me to just look and see all of the destruction and all and things. He said, you're a farmer, you know about it. He said, hay barns, not a match for. Round bales of hay scattered everywhere, you know. Tin up in treetops. Houses and slabs gone, mobile homes riddled. And I was thinking when I was studying this, you know, as powerful as that was, I didn't know a drop of the bucket of what the Lord's going to do when he comes back and he deals with this nation of ours. And the things that he is going to do. I told you a little bit in the beginning about the prophecy here against the mountain of Israel, that high mountain where they would go way up into those hills and stuff, and they would display their idols and stuff that they'd made out of, whether it was gold or silver, bronze, wood, whatever it was, they'd made it out of, and they displayed them up there, and they would come and they would kneel there and worship these idols and stuff. In chapter 6, he's going to talk about what's going to happen to that. And if we be honest with ourselves, what's going to happen to our idols? Think about that as we go through this. The word of the Lord came to me. See, Ezekiel can't say nothing. He can't do anything unless the Lord tells him. Son of man, set your face against the mountains of Israel. Look towards the mountain of Israel. Hear the word of the sovereign Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to the mountains and to the hills, to the ravens and the valleys. I am about to bring a sword against you, and I will destroy your high places. Your altars will be demolished, and your incense altars will be smashed. And I will slay your people in front of your idols. I will lay the dead bodies of the Israelites in front of their idols, and I will scatter your bones around your altars. You know, you went up into the mountains, you built these altars, you go there to sacrifice and stuff. Said, I'm going to meet you there, and I'm going to draw a sword against you. And he said, your altars will be demolished. Your incense altars will be smashed. That's where they went. What was the purpose of the incense? It was to be a sweet-smelling aroma that would carry the smoke that came off of the incense. As it rise, it was their idea that it carried the incense, the smell of the sweet-smelling incense to the nostrils of God in heaven. You know, as a way that they weren't offering their incense to the God of heaven, was it? It's offering their incense to their idols and the things that they have. He said, I'll slay your people from around in front of the altars. I'll scatter your bones around your altars. Wherever you live, the town will be laid waste and the high places demolished, so that your altars will be laid to waste and devastated. Your idols will be smashed and ruined, your incense altars broken down, and what you have made wiped out. Your people will fall faint among you, and you will know that I am the Lord. And think about what he's doing here. Is he's saying here, describing just what the nature of his judgment against them really is and their hearts and their lives. But the thing that was interesting to me, every time he announces to them his judgment, he says to them what the Lord tells him to say. And then you shall know that I am what? The Lord thy God. Now, don't hold my feet to the fire, but trying to remember. But in my studies, the book of Ezekiel, I believe it's 66 times that God ends one of his judgments with that statement. And then ye shall know that I am the Lord thy God. I've told you for the last couple of years, I've never lived in a time when there were so many natural disasters in our land today. And the things that are happening round about us, and the droughts, the famines, the plagues, all the different things that he's talking about here in their hearts and their lives. But the most scary thing to me concerning that was when he said, I myself will withdraw my favor from thee. I've told you many, many times, where's the most dangerous place in all the world to be? Outside the will of God for your life. God withdraws his favor from us in America. We're going to see something, folks, you know. We see all this is happening in foreign lands over there and all the destruction and all the bitterness and hateful doings of one for another. He said, it's not going to be a drop in the bucket what they're going to see concerning them and their hearts and their lives. Your people will fall slain among you, and you will know that I am the Lord thy God. Verse 8 says, but I will spare some Remember what we said this morning, the message? There'd be a tiny remnant. All through Jeremiah, Lamentations, and the other books of the Old Testament, God always spared a what? A few, didn't he? A little remnant that he would leave. And that, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, for he is faithful and just. Here in verse 8, he says, I will spare some. For some of you will escape the sword when you are scattered among the lands and nations. Then in the nations where they have been carried away captive, those who escape will remember me, how I have been grieved by their adulterous hearts, which have turned away from me, and by their eyes, which have lusted after their idols. They will loathe themselves for the evil that they have done, and for all their detestable practice. And they will know, say that with me, that I am the Lord. I did not threaten in vain to bring this calamity on them. Put that in Bexley lingo. He just simply said, I'm not blowing smoke. I'm telling you what's ahead for you. When we get into New Testament soon, I hope, and can review some of the things that God has stored up for this world in this day and age. It's going to be some awesome things. And he said that few people that escaped got away from the ransom. I'm going to just use Sheldon as an example. Sheldon's sitting there, and he sees the bodies of the fathers being eaten by the sons, and the sons eating the fathers. Can you think of anything more detestable, more awful than that sight had to be? And it would put Sheldon to flight, and he would run and escape the walls of the city somehow or another, get away from the soldiers, make his way into a foreign country or city or town or place and stuff, and just stop and look back and say, what could have been? If I hadn't escaped when I did, I hadn't got spared when I did, look what I had to face. And he said here concerning this, he said, then they will remember me, how I have been grieved. It tore God's heart out to have to deal with us such. How I have been grieved by their adulterous hearts, which have turned away from me. He's talking about spiritual, not sexual adultery here, where we have separated. And he said, by their eyes, which they have lusted after their idols. What gets us in trouble a lot of times? Our eyes don't. We see something, what do we say? Man, I just gotta have that, you know? Gotta have it. We get it and we find out what? Didn't really want it after all, did we? Instead of it being something we can enjoy, it becomes a what? A burden in our hearts and in our lives and the things that we've done. And he said, they've lofted themselves for the evil they have done and for all their detestable practices. And they will know that I am the Lord. I did not threaten in vain to bring this calamity on them. And God knew. He had a plan. He gave warning and has fulfilled that plan. Excuse me. Verse 11. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Strike your hands and stamp your feet and cry out, alas. Stomp your feet and cry out aloud, alas. because of all the wicked and detestable practices of the house of Israel. For they will fall by the sword, the famine, and the plague. One of those three things is going to take them out of here in our lives, in our homes. He that is far away will die of the plague. What did Aunt Vermeil say? Ain't no hiding places, you know. Ain't no corners in heaven, you know. You're going to be seen and known as you are. He said, they'll fall by the sword, the plague. And that one who is far away will die in the plague. And he that is near will fall by the sword. And he that survives and is spared will die of famine in their hearts and their lives. God had a plan, three-part plan, that was going to do what? Deal with all the children of Israel and their disobedience to them. So will I spend my wrath upon them, and they will know that I am the Lord. When their people lie slain among their idols, around their altars, on every high hill, and on all the mountaintops, under every spreading tree, and every leafy oak, every little place of shade that they can find. And said, God said, I'll find them. And there they'll lay slain among their idols, round their altars, on their high hills, and on their mountaintops, and under every shade tree in the country. Places where they offered fragrant incense to all their idols. And I will stretch out my hands against them and make the land a desolate waste, from the desert to Dibla, wherever they live. Then they will know that I am the Lord. How does he describe that in New Testament terms for us? There's coming a day, something's going to happen. What is it? Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess Jesus Christ is Lord, isn't he? And in that day, what will they know? That I am the Lord thy God. You know? May not believe it now, but those who are cast into that lake of fire, what are they going to know? Surely he was the Lord thy God. Like that Roman soldier to foot of the cross. When Jesus cried out, it is finished, give up the ghost, and died, what did he say? Surely he was the Messiah, the Savior of the world. He realized it, but it was too late. What had happened? Jesus had died, hadn't he? But because he believed, he saved. Any question, any comment, anything you want to share? Can you get a vision, a little, of how terrible things is going to be? I'll tell you what I hope for. I hope that he's either took me out in death, or I'm going to go with him in the rapture. And I'll have to be as part of the experience that this whole world is going to have to deal with in their hearts and their lives and the things that they're doing. Remember the rich man and Lazarus? And Lazarus was just begging for the crumbs, the leftovers from his table. He chose to give it to the dog rather than give it to Lazarus, didn't he? But they both died, and the rich man lifted up his eyes and being in torment. But Lazarus, when the Lord rolled back the veil and let him see into the portals of heaven, what did the rich man see? Lazarus, where was he at? The bosom of Abraham, wasn't he? And I can tell you, as hot as that fire was, as much as the suffering and pain and heartache of that rich man was there and being in torment, you know, I think something a whole lot worse than that torment, that fire, was the fact that if he'd have just done like Lazarus, he could have been where Lazarus was, with Lazarus, sitting at the king's table, eating from the king's meal, you know. But he refused. He wouldn't do it. And what happened? Wound up in torment. People say all the time, I don't believe you're a kind, caring, loving, compassionate God is going to send me to hell. He's not. You send yourself by the choices that you make in your heart and your life. Any thought? Any comment? I really like y'all. You're a good bunch. Now, you would think we've seen something in 5 and 6, being here for 7 and 8 Wednesday night. You will see something. I hope I'm okay for that. I get my shot in the morning where they freeze my belly and put that in there tomorrow. Wednesday I get my treatment, so hopefully everything will be hunky-dory. You live some next day or two before it really sets in with me, but it ain't a pleasant deal. All hearts clear. Are ready to dismiss us.